He's talking about, I saw something he said the other day about, you know, you gotta have your shit ready in case they turn the power off, turn the water off, do something like
that.
Well,
there's a lot of people that think that, including me. Because if I was a foreign government and I wanted to cripple America, or kill the power grid, we'd go feral in 2 weeks. It would be chaos in 2 weeks. As soon as people don't have water and food and their children are starving, people go crazy. They start eating dogs. They start shooting deer in the neighborhood. And then that runs out. And then they realize they don't know how to keep food good. You know, when it's hot out, they don't know how to get water. They don't know how to treat water. It could get real bad real quick. We are not self-sufficient, even remotely. There's small pockets of human beings in this country that are self-sufficient. But if you had to guess how many people could survive off-grid if everything went haywire, it's like 1%, which is probably what happens when there's a massive catastrophe, when some sort of a global catastrophic event.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord.
That's probably 1% of the people survive.
On this week's podcast, we are not going to be talking about the rapture, but I wanted to bring that to the forefront because of what we are going to talk about on this week's RLE. So a friend of mine had sent me a clip. By the time this airs in April, the clip will probably have already made its rounds on social media. Some of you may be aware of what I'm ready to dissect today, and some of you, this may be the first time you're seeing it. So Joe Rogan had back on Aaron Rodgers, and the conversation, you know, as Joe always does, it jumps from one subject to another. I think it's an amazing show. Less all the cursing. Unfortunately, that's, I think, why many, maybe some Christians don't listen to him. I prefer secular avenues because I want to see what is the world saying, because that's where our focus should be, is sharing the gospel with the world, letting them know that Jesus is coming soon, whenever that may be. But what is salvation? The gospel. So anyway, Joe and Aaron had this amazing dialogue. And towards the end of the podcast, I like to keep things in context. So a minute soundbite was shared to me. So I like to get the full gist of what was happening before people just pull that out. And now they're like, oh, Joel, he's saying Jesus is coming back. Well, you know me, y'all. Great that he said it. But unfortunately, there's coming a fake Messiah on the scene. And his name is the Antichrist.
And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with the voice of thunder, come. I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out, conquering and to conquer.
For any of you who have been following me for any length of time, and I've said this countless times, I 100% believe in a massive spiritual deception the first half of the tribulation. It's not what I believe, but it's scriptural, as we read in Revelation 17. With that being said, when Aaron and Joe were having a dialogue towards the end of the podcast, I was always with my jaw open, as I normally am, listening with bated breath, wondering, oh, okay, what Jesus are they hoping to come? Like the Christ? Jesus. And what I mean by that is Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's Jesus, comma, the Christ, saying he is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Jesus who came to save the world. Now, when we hear Joe and Aaron and their dialogue here, it's about a 7-minute clip. Some might say, oh, yeah, look at him. Now, I'm not saying that Joe's heart might not be tender towards the things of the Lord where it once was not. And I'm all for that. But I'm also of the persuasion that many people will be deceived by the Antichrist, thinking that that is the person who is Jesus Christ. Again, not my words. That's biblical. So when someone like Joe and Aaron are having this dialogue, my mind, unfortunately, my heart, my spirit is vexed. It's not joyful, because these are the people who will be deceived by the Antichrist, thinking that is Messiah. We have to listen to what people say today. I am a firm believer in listening to what the world has to say. Why? Because that's how we can reach the world. Go into the communities, and we stay in our own little Christian bubble, or we say that, oh, they're not worth my time to witness to, the drug addict, the prostitute, the one riddled in New Age. Now, I understand that there's some people who I believe are truly debased, but who are we to say they don't need Jesus? But for the grace of God, go I. So that is why I share secular people like a Joe Rogan, like a Russell Brand. That's why I comment on their material. It's just maybe when I am raptured, just maybe they will go through the comments and say, man, I know there was people who said something outside of the norm. Where are those people? Because there is coming a day, and that's why I started with the rapture, when this world is going to be a chaotic mess. And at that moment, Jesus Christ is not coming to the stage. It is going to be the Antichrist and his sidekick, the false prophet, birthed upon a massive spiritual deception and delusion. Let us tune in to what Aaron and Joe have to say on this week's RLE.
As always, the following clip is falling under the Fair Use Copyright Act. This following clip can be used for teaching, learning, comment, or creative work.
So that's my question, is obviously this gives me a lot of hope, like what you do and the people you have on the podcast. And it's not just great conversations with the boner from Alaska or what's her name, who does the traffic show, which is awesome. But you give a platform Mariana to people Benzella, who are, she's amazing. But this gives me hope, because more people listen to this than watch any news stuff. So they're getting real information from interesting people who are experts in their field about stuff. But what hope can we have that it's going to get better?
Aaron, I am so glad you asked. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. And then our go-to verse as the body of Christ unequivocally is found in Titus 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Like, seriously.
My hope is literally that technology will make it impossible to lie. I really think that's the battle. The battle is between people that are trying to limit our access to the truth and technology, which essentially illuminates all ignorance. As this technology progresses and is essentially right now at a runaway train pace, kind of out of control. And there's this understanding that we have to continue in this path, because if we don't, China gets there first, we're f***ed. If Russia gets there first, we're f***ed. And so we're guns blazing towards this thing that will dissolve all access to information. It will dissolve all boundaries, rather, to access to information. They won't exist anymore. You'll have the ability to understand the inner workings of everything. And that transparency will make it increasingly difficult for them to f***. And they're going to have to adjust accordingly. And then also, people are going to die. The old people, the old guard, they're going to die off. You know, when you see, what's the dude's name that looks like a turtle?
Soros?
No, the old dude. Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell. When he fucking, when he locked up. Those guys are going to die. Like, it's a human reality. You're a finite life form.
So I want to pause there for a reason, because I do not believe in any way, shape, or form that the Antichrist is going to be some old person that we're seeing on the stage today. Absolutely not. I mean, the baby boomers, right? They're not going to be influenced by a young person. My generation, absolutely. But then there's some in my generation who wouldn't be influenced by someone who's young. And then the generations below me, the Ys, the Zs, the Alphas. Oh, do you really think a Mitch McConnell or a Klaus Schwab will influence them in any way? That would be a hard pass.
You only have so much time. You can only rob the world of so much before eventually your heart stops ticking. And then the new people, as they come into place, these are people that are they're growing up with the internet. It's a different understanding and reality of life itself.
But don't you think there has to be some sort of field of value that can orient people into like, hey, let's do things a little bit better because these things actually matter. There is right and wrong. There is morality. Yeah. There is certain like.
Well, unfortunately, the problem with living in a secular society and living in a society that has a lot of people that are atheists, that have no belief system at all, is you find a belief system. And that's a lot of these people that call themselves atheists, or they've subscribed to the religion of woke. You know, their God is equity and inclusiveness. Their God is this ideology that they think that you have to subscribe to. And that's why it's spooky, because people, human beings seem to have a very strong desire for some sort of order and form and some sort of pattern that they can follow that seems to be the right way to go. And they can be led. They can be led by cults. They can be led by groups of people. They can be led by, you know, intolerant governments and evil armies and corrupt politicians. They can be led. But I think as time rolls on, people are going to understand the need to have some sort of divine structure to things, some sort of belief in the sanctity of love and of truth. And a lot of that comes from religion. A lot of people's moral compass and the guidelines that they've used to follow to live a just and righteous life has come from religion. And unfortunately, a lot of very intelligent people, they dismiss all of the positive aspects of religion because they think that the stories are mere superstitious fairy tales, that, you know, they have no place in this modern world, and, you know, we're inherently good and your ethics are based on your old moral compass and we all have one. And that's not necessarily true.
I think what Joe says here, as I paused it in a pondering moment, because I had that pondering moment. I think what Joe, when he says what we just listened to,
the need to have some sort of divine structure to things.
So a lot of people, I don't know where they get that from, because the second half of the tribulation is when this Antichrist is definitely going to change. But the first half of the tribulation, I have never, ever, since anyone who's ever known me, said that this Antichrist is going to come on like some bully or a Barack Obama or a, you know, some type of socialist, communist, the people that we're seeing today. I've always said that's not going to be the case. This guy is going to come on the scene deceiving the masses because of what Joe Rogan literally just said. A kumbaya, bring the whole world together, let us unite. And how does he do that? By his sidekick, the false prophet. Thank you, Joe, for proving my point in the secular realm.
Because you see the way people behave in war, they don't have any moral compass. Yep. They're just murderers and killers. And they, we've asked people in service of our country to go to these places and behave like murderers and killers and then reintegrate into society, right back into society and be a good person again. And they don't know how to do it. And they go crazy. And there's a lot of them who come back and they're down is up and up is down. They don't know what the
we help them out.
We don't help them out. And the suicide rate, suicide is the, I think, is it the number one killer of veterans?
Pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah, but
yeah, it's fucked up world we live in.
So leaving all of that in context, that's why I left the part about our men and women who serve this country, and thank you so much for your service. That's why I left this in its entirety. I didn't want to butcher it. I didn't want to edit it down or fast forward, because then at that point, this is when Joe says, we need Jesus. And then you can see the rest of the dialogue. So again, the Jesus that is coming on the scene after the rapture is not going to be the biblical Jesus. It's going to be the Antichrist. And that, my friends, needs to scare all of us as believers to get out there and seek those who are lost and share the gospel.
Yeah, but
yeah, it's a f***ed up world we live in. We need Jesus. I think for real. Like, if he came back now, it'd be great. Like, Jesus, if you're thinking about coming back.
Right now?
Now's a good time.
Yeah, pretty soon, yeah.
Now's a good time. We're kind of
Well, there's a lot of people that think that might be coming.
Well, it might be.
Mark of the Beast.
That might be the aliens. I mean, that might be what all this stuff is.
I really hope you guys have made it this far. If you have, as I always ask, tell me in the comments, made it this far. But I wanted to pause here because for the duration of this little snip, I want you to hear what Joe says and why it is so important to understand the secular world will absolutely welcome the Antichrist, who will be a false Christ. And there is a reason why. And Joe, in all of his secular verbiage, sums it up.
It might be we reach a certain point where we're so unmanageable and so chaotic that something comes down and gives us a guideline. I mean, this is what Moses essentially experienced, supposedly, right? When he came back with his 10 commandments, this is supposedly what, you know, these people that have had these religious visions, none of the religious visions were like, oh my God, we're f***ed. Yeah. All the religious visions were, there's a way to do this.
Yeah.
There's a guide. There's a way to follow, and there's a greater power that's above everything that controls this whole thing and keeps it all together. And there's laws to adhere that will make for a much better life for all humans, and all life on Earth.
We're all fine. We're going to be fine. We're going to find a way, all these ideas to come together.
Yeah, it's hope. Hope is a memory of the future. You know, it matters.
Yeah.
It does matter. Yeah, like everything we do matters. I think if, you know, atheists, I think, can find their own religion. It might be religion of science or religion of climate change or whatever it might be. But to not believe in a higher power means that really nothing I do matters, ultimately. I live, I die, that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So whatever purpose you might have, it's short-lived. It's just for this. There's nothing else going on. I have a hard time with that because I believe there's a seen world and an unseen world. And there's forces of good and forces of evil, and that there's a purpose for all this. And there's, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we're doing this. There's a lot of opportunities to do this. I'd like to get it right this time around.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. But if there is the Christianity part and Jesus wants to come back and save everything,
it'd be good right around now.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait till the election.
Yeah.
Don't wait until China invades Taiwan.
Don't wait until Klaus Schwab puts on his suit again.
Yeah, don't wait until he gets on the Darth Vader outfit. Why was he wearing that outfit? Is there an explanation for why Klaus Schwab was dressed up?
I think he was on Epstein's Island.
So I wanted to end it on a funny note there. You can continue to listen to that interview to find out why Klaus was wearing that jacket. But anyway, that, my friends, is this week's RLE. May we do what we are required to do as believers, and that is share the gospel with the lost. Until next time, I'll see you here, there, or in the air. Bye, everyone.